translation of that song? Lamentation, due to separation from the Lord and His associates. He who brought the treasure of divine love, and who was filled with unlimited compassion and mercy, where is such a personality as Srinivas Acharya gone? Where are my Sarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishnadas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I'll smash my head upon a stone and will enter into fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the ocean of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottam Das simply weeps. Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj Ki Jai. Today is the disappearance day of Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. He disappeared on this day in 1915, if I remember correctly. So that is 86 years ago. He left this world. He's the spiritual master of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is the spiritual master, of course, of Srila Prabhupada. Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj was a Siksha disciple and very close friend and Vaishnava associate of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and had a very high standard, a very high level of Krishna consciousness, pure Krishna consciousness, completely on the transcendental platform. He was actually, they say, not able to read or write. He was not materially an educated person, but still, whatever he spoke, whenever he opened his mouth, it was as if the Vedic scriptures were manifesting. So he's very exalted, very elevated devotee, situated on the highest platform of pure Krishna consciousness. And further evidence for that is just the fact that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who was highly educated by material standards, in fact was an exceptionally brilliant person by anyone's standards, but he took shelter of Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj and accepted him absolutely, completely surrendered to him as his eternal spiritual master. So he is very, very great devotee and very great inspiration in Krishna consciousness. However, he took it upon himself to remain a recluse. And there are at least no accounts that I've come across of Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj really taking up the preaching mission in a very active way. Although, of course, he did preach to people who came to him. He did preach. And sometimes he would preach. There are, in fact, accounts which we'll read, accounts of him preaching very powerfully to people, in very cutting ways, cutting out their material illusions and replacing them with the pure Krishna conscious ideals. However, at least from what we hear, he was not really active as an outgoing preacher, but more remained in the holy places, particularly Navadweep, Mayapur, that area, by the Ganges, and generally engaged in chanting and discussing Krishna consciousness with the devotees. But essentially his general mood and approach to Krishna consciousness was in in that sense as a recluse, as a renunciate, an extreme renunciate, and just remaining in the holy places and being absorbed in Krishna consciousness there. So, let us read from, there's one book, Babaji Maharaj, which is a biography of Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and it also has a small section about Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. So there are quite extensive notes here about different pastimes and activities of Srila Gaurakishore. They are, as I understand, they're all taken from articles written by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which appeared in his Harmonist newspaper. So this we can read just a little short outline of his life, and then we can read some of his special pastimes. Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj appeared sometime in the 1830s in the district of Faridapur, adjacent to the place called Tapakola, in the village of Vagyana in East Bengal, or what is now known as Bangladesh. He appeared in that village, which is situated on the bank of the Padma River, as the son of a Vaishya, most probably named Vamsidas. According to one biographer, however, Vamsidas was the name of Srila Gaurakishore before he took to the renounced order. During his boyhood, his mother and father arranged a marriage for him, and he remained in household affairs for more than 20 years. While he was a householder, he worked as a broker in the grain business, but even at that time he exhibited his spirituality. After the demise of his wife, Srila Gaurakishore left his business and went to Vrindavan. There he approached Srila Bhagavat Das Babaji, one of the foremost disciples of Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, and accepted from him the traditional Paramahansa Vaishnav Babaji dress. After this he became completely renounced and sojourned under trees in various parts of Vraj Mandala. He continuously acted in this way for a period of approximately 30 years. During this time, he would sometimes travel to the holy places of pilgrimage in northern and western India, as well as the Gora Mandala, the circle of Navadvip. He associated with Srila Swarup Das Babaji Maharaj and Jagannath Puri, whose ecstatic activities were recounted by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his autobiography. He also associated with Srila Bhagavan Das Babaji in Kalna. He went to Kulia, the holy site of Srila Jagannath Das Babaji's bhajan, and associated with Srila Chaitanya Das Babaji. All of these Babajis were pure and exalted devotees. Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji became very famous among the great devotees of Vrindavan and was awarded the appropriate title of Bhajan Anandi. Even though he received such honor, he never endeavored for even the smallest amount of material sense gratification, and totally approved of the secret material desires of pseudo-renunciates. He was entirely removed from such inclinations and would perform his pure unalloyed devotional pastimes alone in a profound devotional mood. In the year 1897, during the month of Falguna, when he was in his 60s, and at the time when the Yoga Peak, the birth site of Lord Chaitanya, was revealed by the efforts of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj proceeded to Navadvip Dham from Vrindavan under the instruction of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. From this time until his disappearance, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji remained in Navadvip Dham, living in different villages and realizing their non-difference from the holy places of Vrindavan. He begged by gathering dry foodstuffs from the householders of the holy Dham. He would sometimes offer those foodstuffs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the simple expedient method of holding them up in his hand. In order to cook, he would collect dry wood from the paths and would wash earthen pots discarded by the villagers along the roadside near the Ganges River on the occasion of eclipses. Due to the effects of an eclipse, such pots were considered impure and unusable. In order to clothe himself, he would go to the shore of the Ganges and collect and wash discarded cloth that had been used to cover corpses at the burning ghat. Thus, he always remained independent of the support of others, simply by utilizing items of no value to anyone else. In such a manner, he obtained the practical necessities of life. In 1897, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur constructed his place of bhajan on the bank of the Saraswati River at Godrum, the island of the nine islands of Navadweep Dham, which represents Kirtan. Previously, it had been the site of Lord Nityananda's Namhatta, the place from where Lord Nityananda inaugurated his preaching exploits in Bengal under the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj would visit Bhaktivinoda Thakur frequently and hear his talks with great delight. The Thakur often cited the behavior of Srila Gaurakishore to explain the meaning of the word nirapeksha, or indifference. Bhaktivinoda Thakur often discussed the unequaled renunciation, pure devotion, and attachment to Krishna that Gaurakishore Das Babaji displayed. In the days of the Thakur's retirement, the two met and associated often in great happiness. For some time, Babaji Maharaj stayed in Sarabi Kunj and performed bhajan. His room, which adjoined the wall of the Kunj, has been preserved. Babaji Maharaj displayed fervent enthusiasm upon hearing the discourses of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. His only possessions were the tulsi beads he wore around his neck and the tulsi japa mala he kept in his hand for counting his rounds. He also kept a few books, such as Narottam Das Thakur's Prarthana and Prema Bhakti Chandrika. Sometimes he wore a torn cloth, and sometimes he went naked. At other times, he would utter harsh sounds of disgust for no apparent reason. Even though it appeared that Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj was not a learned Sanskrit scholar, still the purport and conclusions of all scriptures were luminous in his heart and character. It was never possible for anyone to serve him, for he was never willing to accept any kind of service from any person. Whoever witnessed his unearthly, genuine condition of renunciation was reminded of the pastimes of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. All kinds of divine powers and opulences were always waiting at his command, ready to serve him. Sometimes such powers would be manifest in the form of his appearing to be omniscient. He was always able to reveal the deceitful nature lying within the hearts of pretenders. Although a person resided outside his immediate purview, Srila Gaurakishore would elaborately and scrutinizingly reveal the person's cheating nature because he was in direct contact with Supersoul. This ability, however, was not his principal virtue. He exhibited the highest standard of devotion to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, and because of his exemplary character, he was recognized as the personification of the deepest degree of separation from Lord Sri Krishna. This is what distinguished him from most other Vaishnavas, and what spread the luster of his lotus feet. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has written, "Many young, clever, old, learned, foolish, proud, and reasonable persons came into contact with Srila Gaurakishore Prabhu, yet they could not realize his real identity. This is indeed the mystic opulence of the devotees of Lord Krishna. Many persons came to consult with Srila Gaurakishore Prabhu about their insignificant desires. They would always get suggestions, but those suggestions were usually the cause of their disappointment. Innumerable persons accepted the Babaji dress and acted as devotees of the Lord, but actually they were imposters, far away from being real sadhus. Srila Gaurkishore never accepted such a false way of life. His sincerity was apparent in itself. His loving attitude was such that even when he obtained a very opulent offering, his renunciation predominated. Srila Gaurkishore Das Babaji never displayed any distaste for those persons who were inimical to him. He also never manifested any special affection for those very dear to him. He would often express himself saying, "In this material world, I'm all alone in my service to Lord Krishna. Everyone is worshipable by me." Another noteworthy transcendental topic is that many materialistic foolish persons masquerading as devotees and imitating pure devotion would come and surround him. They would consider that they were the dear objects of his affection while they engaged their minds in so many worldly sense objects. Srila Gaurkishore Prabhu would never display any intention of driving them away, and also no symptoms of a compromising attitude. So this is the basic introduction. What we just read there was written directly by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So now we can read some of the particular incidents. When it seemed that Gaurkishore Das Babaji's eyesight was deteriorating, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati requested him to go to Calcutta for treatment. Thakur Bhaktivinod also repeatedly requested him to go there, but Srila Gaurkishore would reply, "I will never go to that illusory universe, Calcutta." Once, Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur informed Babaji Maharaj that his servant, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, would stay with him in Calcutta, and thus Babaji Maharaj would not have to suffer any inconvenience there. Upon hearing this, Srila Gaurkishore Prabhu replied, I will never accept service from Prabhu. So, meaning Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, who was his initiated and only initiated disciple, "I'll never accept service from Prabhu. Rather, I shall die by drowning. If I drown myself in the Ganges, I'll become a ghost. So I'll drown myself in the Saraswati." Repeating the statement, Srila Gaurkishore then left post-haste, running towards the Saraswati River, which flowed close to the entrance to Swananda Kunj, the place of Bhaktivinoda Thakura. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta pursued him, trying to dissuade him, humbly and repeatedly requesting him to return. After this incident, he was not to be found for 45 days. Then, just as suddenly, he reappeared at Swananda Kunj and announced, "I cannot achieve Krishna by killing myself. Nevertheless, I cannot tolerate anyone serving me." Although requested hundreds of times to take medicine, Srila Gaurkishore never consented. Srila Gaurkishore always observed the Ekadasi fast rigidly. On other days, he often ate dried, cracked rice soaked in water with chilies, or at other times simply earth from the bank of the Ganges. His renunciation was not artificial, however. though was symptomatic of his indifference to worldly existence. From 1907 to 1908, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati lived in Mayapur at the Yoga Peak. It was here that the Adoksaja deity of Srila Jagannath Mishra, the father of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was later unearthed. Before construction of the Yogapith temple began, Gaurkishore Das Babaji went there from Kulia on many occasions. During this period, he gave many instructions to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta engaged in his guru's service. Once, although externally completely blind, Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj arrived alone at Sridhar Mayapur at the Yoga Peak in the early hours of the morning. Later that day, Srila Saraswati Thakur, amazed to see him and realizing that he must have somehow crossed the Ganges in the dead of night and walked several miles through the jungle, inquired, "When did you arrive?" Babaji Maharaj replied, "I arrived at about 2 in the morning." Completely astonished, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati then asked, "What was it that brought you here last night, and how was it possible for you to see the path?" Babaji Maharaj answered, "Someone showed me the proper way." Srila Bhaktisiddhanta replied, "We can see with our external vision, but you appear to be blind. Who would bring you such a long distance by the hand, and then upon arriving here, suddenly leave in the middle of the night? How is it that you were able to come?" "It must have been Sri Krishna who personally brought you here." Hearing this supposition, Srila Babaji Maharaj began to laugh slightly. The fact was that in those days, one could not walk from Kulia to Mayapur because there were no footpaths, and one could not take a boat because there were no landing places. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati again inquired, "Who brought you across the river?" Srila Gaurkishore answered in the same amused manner, "Someone took me across the river." His disciple could then understand that the mysterious person was none other than Vrajendranandan Sri Krishna. See, all of these, what we are reading now, these are all like, not exactly translations, because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is being referred to in the third person as someone, you know, one of the people involved, but they're taken from accounts written by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and just presented with him instead of being the narrator and the participant, but just as a participant. Once, while Srila Gaurkishore was residing in a dharamshala in Kulia, Srila Saraswati Thakur asked him how he had lived at Vraja and asked many questions about the residents of Vrindavan and the various devotees who are performing bhajan there. Srila Saraswati Thakur specifically asked about the bhajan anandis, the babajis, who were reputed to be perfectly self-realized souls. Upon hearing the question, Srila Gaurkishore Das Babaji laughed again and again and told Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, "They are all imposters." One of the Babajis in question, who lived at Kusum Sarovar in Vrindavan, was famed as a great bhajan anandi. He had a few disciples who were also reputed to be perfectly self-realized. But Babaji Maharaj did not even slightly agree to their being genuine. After some time, these pretenders became afflicted with leprosy of the throat and left their bodies after suffering terribly. They had resided in the Dham with their intelligence bent upon sense gratification, and they had behaved offensively toward Babaji Maharaj. A neophyte devotee who had taken the dress of a Babaji often came to converse with Babaji Maharaj. On one such occasion, he decided to take up residence in the holy dharm. He approached a certain queen who was living in Kulia and who owned land thereabouts in order to purchase 3/4 of an acre of land from her. Upon hearing this news, Babaji Maharaj commented, The supreme abode of the Lord is transcendental. How is it possible that this queen has become a landowner in the dharm? How is it that she is entitled to sell that new Baba a portion of the land of the dharm? All the jewels found within the universe are not valuable enough to purchase even one speck of dust in the dharm. Therefore, how can any landowner amass enough wealth to become the owner of a plot of the transcendental abode of Sri Navadvip Dham? Has this new Baba, for the exchange of the practice of devotional service, become entitled to a portion of land in Navadvip Dham? Anyone with such materially tinged intelligence is very offensive and far away from actual residence within the Dham. Those persons whose attitude is thus tainted by materialistic intelligence, who think that the Dham is part of the material universe, are considered by the devotees of the Supreme Lord to be sahajiyas, or cheap impostors. So then the point is made. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur purchased land in the Dham, but he was never chastised by Srila Gaur Kishore because he perfectly understood who the real possessor was and considered himself merely the custodian of such land. Once a resident of Bangladesh, who was a very wealthy landlord, scholar and Brahmin, and reputed to be a great devotee of the Lord, came with a friend to see Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. The landowner appeared to be so deeply absorbed in devotional ecstasy that his friend had to support him as he walked, lest he fall down due to excessive trembling of the body. When the peer arrived before Babaji Maharaj, two other persons in the assembly, recognizing the famous landlord, immediately received him as an advanced devotee of the Lord. They carefully offered their obeisances to him and arranged a sitting place. At that time, Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, in his pastime of blindness, inquired, "Who has come?" The friend of the landowner described his companion by glowingly describing his erudition and devotion and as being disinterested in material sense gratification, despite possessing unlimited wealth. He then described how, only a fortnight earlier, a thief had come and stolen 45,000 rupees from that landlord's house. Despite suffering such a setback, the landowner, knowing devotion to be much more significant, had come to attain Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji's transcendental darshan. The friend added, "I am his friend. He has left all material sense gratification and keeps only my association. You'll be able to realize his greatness by conversing with him. He once asked me a question about a confidential exchange between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Ramananda Roy found in Chaitanya Charitamrita. I told him that only Gaur Kishore Das Babaji could properly answer his question, and certainly no one else. We have already been to see many learned persons in this area, yet we cannot come to an agreement about the meaning of this conversation. We think that only you are able to explain it properly." After the introduction was complete, Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj replied, "I will tell you a process by which you can understand the conclusion of this conversation. But before trying to understand these confidential topics between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy, you should renounce the association of this rascal imposter landowner and take shelter of a pure devotee of the Lord. You should hear Chaitanya Charitamrita 100 times in the association of authentic devotees of the Lord. In this way, being absorbed in devotional ecstasy, you'll be able to realize the purport of these conversations. At the present moment, all the devotees here want to perform congregational chanting of the holy name. We don't have time to discuss any other topics. Having thus spoken, Srila Babaji Maharaj, later that evening, when almost everyone had left, some members of the assembly commented to Babaji Maharaj. That very learned landowner was absorbed in devotional ecstasy. We could not see any manifestation of material consciousness in him. He was devoid of worldly consciousness. Another person sitting nearby, who had always heard that Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji was very straightforward with everyone, inquired. That person was so immersed in various loving devotional ecstasies that he could not even walk by his own efforts. How is it that you can say he was not on the highest platform of bhakti? Srila Babaji Maharaj replied, after speaking with him for a few moments, I could understand that he had no good intentions in his performance of devotional service. One cannot measure a person's devotion by the approval of the general mass. If a person is not serious in his devotional practice, then even if he exhibits the symptoms of renunciation, non-attachment, and various ecstasies, still he should not be considered to have real renunciation or detachment. As soon as a difficult test comes, his false renunciation will cease. Detachment seeks out those who are actually fixed in their intention to perform devotional service. When performing practical devotional service, we should never exhibit our devotional ecstasies. One should perform devotional service in such a way that his deep attachment to the Lord increases within his heart. Even if one displays hundreds and hundreds of exhibitions of external attachment, he will not be blessed by the Lord if he does not develop an internal loving attitude to him. If one genuinely possesses a deep loving attitude, then Krishna himself will approach and claim such an advanced devotee. Whoever is not enticed by the fragrance of unflinching devotional service and whose heart is filled with material desires will wear different types of external bodily dress. Krishna is proportionately aloof or available according to the degree of one's surrender. If one is deeply immersed in devotional attachment to Lord Hari, then even while suffering distressing diseases or other material miseries, he will still remain absorbed in transcendental loving service to the Lord. If you can fast and chant Hare Krishna both day and night, and when you can always cry out with desire for the service of Vrishabhanu's Radharani without revealing it to others, then Sri Krishna, who is very dear to Srimati Radharani, will call you to take shelter. So, he didn't appreciate those external displays by that so-called great devotee landowner. A lawyer. A lawyer named Bhattacharya came to visit Babaji Maharaj. He was living in the vicinity and had contracted a certain caste Goswami on a monthly basis to supply him food. When the lawyer approached Babaji Maharaj, he was asked, "What arrangement do you have for your foodstuffs?" The lawyer replied, "I have arranged to receive my foodstuffs in the house of certain Vaishnavas and Brahmins." Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji then answered, "Give up eating their cooked rice. You should cook for yourself and eat that. Those persons from whom you are accepting food grains eat meat and maintain their service to Lord Chaitanya in devious ways. Their activities are most offensive because they know that what they are doing is wrong. Those persons who have no fear of an offense they create to the Supreme Lord should never even be spoken to. Otherwise, devotional service will be destroyed." Sometime later, the lawyer brought several sweets and offered them to Srila Gaurkishore Das Babaji. He prayerfully requested Babaji Maharaj to accept his offering. Srila Babaji Maharaj then told him, "I never accept sweets." The Bhattacharya replied, "There is nothing higher than accepting food that the Lord has directly accepted." Srila Babaji Maharaj sharply retorted, "Whoever eats fish is like a prostitute. If someone has perverted desires and offers foodstuffs to Lord Chaitanya, those preparations can never be accepted as the prasad of the Supreme Lord, because the Lord does not partake of them. Whoever is not a sincere devotee of the Lord cannot understand what a non-devotee is. Even if one offers foodstuffs to the Supreme Lord, but if one has perverted intentions, then that offering is never accepted. If one offers the covering of the banana flowers because he likes the taste himself, the offering is not accepted by the Supreme Lord. To offer foodstuffs to the Supreme Lord that have been contaminated by one's lusty desires should be considered a great offense. If preparations favored by the great devotees of the Lord are offered, then the offering is considered proper." Krishna accepts foodstuffs that have been tasted by the lips of his pure devotees. If one accepts the grains of a sinful person, then his mind becomes impure. One should think, "My worship to the Lord has not fructified yet. How can I obtain the service of a pure devotee of the Lord?" In this way, with a heart full of grief, if one takes banana skins and the discarded skin of an eggplant and boils them without salt and offers them, this attitude of full surrender will cause those foodstuffs to become Mahaprasad. Okay. You never tried that, did you? Neither did I. Right. Okay, let's see. Let us read one more. Srila Babaji Maharaj exhibited an unmatched, uncompromising spirit toward anything opposing the real conclusions of bhakti. He was above all mundane thought, and one cannot possibly understand why he acted as he did unless one rigidly follows in the footsteps of the Paramahansa devotees of the Lord. Thus, we should not be surprised that some persons who had his audience hundreds of times were never blessed with his special grace, while others received his mercy at once. One day a householder devotee from Mayapur went to Kulia to get the association of Srila Babaji Maharaj. The Paramahansa was seated in a chair made of reeds, just within the door of his kutia, or cottage. When the Grihastha approached him, Srila Gaurkishore nonchalantly closed the door. At that, the devotee informed an attendant of Srila Babaji Maharaj that he wished to see him. Srila Gaurkishore replied when the attendant informed him, "If he wants my darshan, then he must give 2 rupees. The attendant received the money from the Grihastha and duly informed Srila Gaurkishore Das Babaji. Babaji Maharaj then opened the door of the kutir and said, "Please have a look." The Grihastha remained some distance away from the kutir and respectfully offered his prostrated obeisances. But by his own sweet voice, Srila Babaji Maharaj drew him closer, affectionately took his hands within his, and said, "You have come from Mayapur, the place where my Supreme Master, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has appeared. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has sent you here, so therefore I have a few words to say to you. Sri Chaitanya will certainly listen to this. You should take shelter of Krishna by always chanting his holy name. There will be no more instructions in your life." Whenever Srila Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj saw the residents of Sri Mayapur, He would always show some special favor and with affection say, the residents of the Holy Dharma. It was always seen that even if someone tried to offer great wealth, he would personally remain indifferent. But then again, he would request different persons to help him by giving him money and other paraphernalia for his service to the Lord's devotees resident in the Dharma. So, of course, there's so many things. In fact, there are many pages of accounts here. But we haven't got time to read them. So these are some nice things about Srila Gaurakishordas Babaji Maharaj. We should try to remember him today and remember his unparalleled standards of renunciation in Krishna consciousness and pray to him for his special mercy. Srila Gaurakishordas Babaji Maharaj ki jai.